Take your Bibles, please, this morning. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, the 18th chapter, Jeremiah chapter 18, for the message this morning. I think you'll see in just a few minutes that it was definitely the Lord that led them to sing that song about all the stories that they were taught in the Bible and how they believed them. And I think you'll see how that's amplified in the message this morning. Wasn't planned that way, but the Lord planned it that way. I didn't plan it that way. Let's see. Verse 1, please. Jeremiah chapter 18. You got it? Everybody with me? Now, I want you to know that the message that I'm going to preach to you this morning is just a little bit different than what you're probably used to. You're going to have to think a little bit. You're going to have to stay with me. I'm not going to do anything to help you listen this morning. You're just going to have to make up your mind. You're going to do it on your own. There's no jokes. There's no funny stuff. I'm just going to lay a principle out, and I'm going to show you that principle. We're going to start broadly, and then we're going to narrow it down to where we are. And when we get to where we are, where it applies to us personally, I think it'll be speak to your heart. But so I want you to listen carefully this morning. Now, I don't normally like to tattle on the early service crowd this morning, but I'm not sure they were there. I'm just not sure, so I want to make sure it's not the sermon, okay? Now, 8:30, that's too early to have church. I know that. I have the hardest time. Every time I see, like tomorrow, I'll see Dr. Smith, and when I see him, he's going to put his hand over his shoulder. And the reason is because every time I see him, as soon as I see him, I walk up, I smack him on the shoulder. Ow, what was that for? That early service you started all those years ago. You can't be spiritual at 8:30 in the morning. Now, you just can't. And we laugh about it all the time. But I hope it's not the sermon. That's my point. I got blessed from this thought. But everybody was sitting there this morning looking at me like, really? And it's just because it's a little different than what I normally do. So I'm going to tell you that up front. So focus, all right, and stay with me. I think God will bless your heart if you'll see the thought, see the point, and follow me through it. All right, let's begin in verse 1. And another thing, don't go running and telling all the folks in the early service that I was talking about them this morning. All right? Now behave yourselves. Just us talking, okay? All right, look at verse 1. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." All right, so just get the picture in your mind. We don't have potters anymore. People do it as a hobby, but, you know, they do all this stuff by machines nowadays. And so, you know, the skill of a potter is a lost art for us today. But back in Bible times, potters were necessary, and they provided a benefit, and they did a service. All right, so here's this potter, and he's got a wheel, and it's got these little pedals, and he pushes those pedals, and it causes that wheel to turn. And he sits there day in and day out, and he fills orders. He might make a vase, he might make a bowl, he might make a cup, he might make a plate. I mean, you know, he's a potter, and he does whatever he needs to do. And he makes useful things. Are you with me? Useful things. And so God told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And so he went, and he saw the potter at the wheel, and he was working. All right, verse 4. Now, here's my text verse. Let me read it, and then I'll give you the text that I'm going to use. In verse 4, it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was, what's the next word? Marred. It was marred. So he made it again, another vessel. So he made it again, another vessel. So he had some clay on the wheel, and he was making a vessel. But while he was making it, he noticed that it was marred. So he made it again. And that's what I want to preach on. The title of my sermon this morning is, So He Made It Again. All right? Now, read the rest of the verse. So he made it again. Another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. All right, let's pray together. And then I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled, So He Made It Again. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. And Lord, thank you for your redemptive work, how you take that which was marred and you make it new again. Lord, thank you so much for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities to serve and to do something for the kingdom of God. And Lord, I just pray that you will bless now as we look at this thought and realize the greatness of what is stated here by Jeremiah. And so, Lord, just fill me with your Spirit and help me this morning as I speak. And may you bless the message in a great way. We love you, Lord, and thank you so much for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things, and amen. All right, a couple of years ago, I preached a message from the potter out of this chapter. And so I assure you, this is not that message. This is a new message. The other day I was reading this, not looking for a sermon, but just reading it for my own edification. And I happened upon that little phrase that is found in verse 4 where it says, So he made it again. And I thought on it for a couple of days and then this week put the message together. So I think that when you read this chapter about the potter, And you look at all the pictures and see all the wonderful things that Jeremiah is alluding to, it is very clear that there is a great deal of the gospel of Jesus Christ found in Jeremiah's words. When he went down to the potter's house and watched the potter and saw what happened, there is a great deal of gospel of the gospel that can be seen in this whole picture. And I think that's typical of Jeremiah, that he would find the gospel in such a familiar place. It has always seemed to me that Jeremiah was one of our Lord's favorite prophets. I'm not saying that he had one that he thought more highly of than another. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that when you read the Gospels in the New Testament and you read the words that were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, it's obvious that he knew the book of Jeremiah frontwards and backwards. He quotes Jeremiah often. He alludes to some of the same pictures that Jeremiah alluded to. So it's very clear, very obvious that the Lord Jesus thought highly of the book of Jeremiah. I think that there are a lot of similarities between the Lord Jesus and the prophet Jeremiah. Both had such a tender heart. You cannot read the book of Jeremiah and not see the heart of this prophet. We sometimes refer to him as the weeping prophet because he had such a great heart for Israel and for the people of God. And then, of course, you can't read the Gospels without seeing the heart of our Savior. As the Lord Jesus just reached out to anyone and everyone around him. So both had a tender heart. Both also had very similar outlooks. And of course, both Jeremiah and the Lord Jesus had to deal with rejection. Jeremiah's and his message was strongly rejected by the Jews, so much so that they put him in prison, and they just despised Jeremiah and everything about him. And of course, the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, one thing they did have in common with each other was an appreciation for the everyday, common, ordinary things in life. More than any other of the Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah felt the wonder of the usual, of the commonplace. Jeremiah used parables, much like the Lord used parables. You know, the Lord Jesus could take birds flying over, or a flower growing, or a man sowing seed in a field. And he would use that in a story and, of course, teach great doctrine or great truths and teach the things that he wanted folks to understand about himself and about the kingdom of God and about his salvation. And Jeremiah did basically the same thing. He would take common things, the things around him, the everyday affairs of life. And he would see in those an illustration or an example, and he would weave them into a message and thereby communicate the message of God. Now, here in this passage, we have one of those ways in which he took the ordinary and he communicated great truth with it. Here is a potter. This was something that every Jew would have easily identified and could picture in his mind. A man sitting at a potter's wheel and taking the clay and molding it and making something beautiful and something useful. But as he is in the process of molding and fashioning the clay, he notices that it is marred. There is something wrong. Now, the Bible does not tell us what was wrong, but we understand the word marred is it's kind of an all-inclusive word, and it could mean that there was a bubble in it. It could mean that there was some rock or a piece of dirt that did not belong there. It could mean that while he was fashioning it, that he got one side higher than the other, or maybe it wasn't completely round. I don't know why it was marred, but we know that it was marred. And so the Jeremiah said that when the potter noticed that it was marred, that he just crushed it, and he made it again. Now, that's important. So he made it again. He did not take the marred clay and throw it in the garbage can and get some new clay and try. No, he took the marred clay and he made it again. I like that. I like that. And so it started me to thinking, you know, that's the way our God is. He takes that which is marred and he makes it again. And that's exactly what the Lord did for you. That's exactly what the Lord did for me. And so I want to use this parable to show us how God deals with each of us. Now, as I said a moment ago, we're going to start out here on a broad spectrum. And I'm going to show you that this is what God does. He takes that which is marred and he makes it again. And we're going to narrow it down until we get to where all of us live. But first of all, let's look at it broadly, and let me show you how true this statement is. Again, look at the statement. So he made it again. And I want you to think with me of how true this statement is of nature, of the world around us. When it comes to nature, is not God always making it again? You know, I heard some folks complaining Wednesday night about the heat and the humidity. I haven't heard anybody complain about the heat and humidity this morning. I've heard everybody say, wow, boy, I'm glad that heat broke. Wow, I'm glad that humidity broke. Yeah, we enjoy this, don't we? You see, that's our God. He's always making it again. We are now in September, and we are in that time of the year where in just a few weeks, the leaves are going to turn color, and they will begin to fall off the trees. And then a few months after that, we're going to see winter get here, and all those trees that are now full of green leaves, which will in a few weeks be red and yellow and orange and brown, they're all going to fall off, and then they're all just going to stand like eerie skeletons looking at us for a couple of months. And then we're going to watch over after that for a few months, and we're going to watch as the temperatures warm up, and we're going to see the trees bud, and then the green will be back, and then they'll be full again, and it's just a continuous cycle. Sooner than we think, God will make it all again. That's just what he does. You see, sooner or later, God will make it again. If you see an artist paint a picture of the springtime, when he gets to where that last little touch goes on the picture, once he has finished it, it's done. Once it is finished, it is finished. He does not have to paint that specific picture again. But the wonder of the Creator is that he paints it again. You see, our God paints it every year. I mean, you know, every year God makes the spring again. Every year he makes the glory of the summer again. Every year he makes the beauty of the fall again. Every year he makes the biting bleakness of the winter again. With all of his infinite creating power, God makes it all again every year. Now, I guess I could say it this way, by way of repetition, God makes it again every year. We have a continuous cycle that never gets reversed in its order, regardless of what Obama says. We have a continuous cycle that never gets out of order. It's always the same. We have the fall, and I use fall because that's where we are. We use the fall, and that will be followed by the winter, and that will be followed by the spring, and that will be followed by the summer, and then lo and behold, we'll be back in the fall again. It's a continuous cycle. But that's the way God made things. That's the way it is. It is all made again. And the amazing thing is, we never get tired of it, do we? We never get tired of it. I can remember when I was in college, I had a professor for a music class, and he said one day in that class, and I wrote it down, and I never forgot it. He said that one characteristic of great music is that you never get tired of it. You never get tired of it. You can hear it repeated over and over and over, and you never get sick of listening to it. Now, if the music is not good music, then you have no interest in hearing it repeated. Now, think of that, folks. Did you ever think of the greatness of God's music? I mean, every year since we were children, God has been giving us the oratorio of spring. And every year when we see it and hear it, it is just as fresh and it is just as beautiful to us as it was when we first noticed it as children. That's just the way God is. Every morning the sun comes up, rising up in the east. And every evening it sets in the west. And when the day is over, then the night falls. And you can go outside in the night when there's not clouds in the sky. And you can look up and see the sky filled with twinkling little dots. And lo and behold, it's up there every night. Every night. Every year the spring comes crawling across the country. And soon it fills every field and every forest. And it is God who makes it. It is God who does it. But we will never understand the depths of his eternal patience until we realize he maketh it again. That's just what God does. He maketh it again. You can look at nature and see how God works. But now let's bring it a little closer to home. The second thing I want you to think of how true this is concerning the scriptures. Think of how true this is concerning the scriptures. You know, as life continues on with its many increasing needs and, all the problems that we face, is not God continually making it again? Think about it. You know, I thought I'd die when my kids left home. I was so heartbroken over that. I thought, you little ungrateful things, I raised you and now you leave and break my heart. But then they brought grandchildren to the house. Man, that's so much better than having your own kids. Grandkids are great. There's nothing like them. They're wonderful. God just seems to know that, you know, when your kids leave, and then the ungrateful thing, they don't ever come and see you. You ever notice that? The only time they come and see you is when they're hungry or when they want a babysitter. That's preaching, isn't it? Dad, can we come over? Sure, bring the kids. You know it's true. And it's almost like God says, let me do it again. And you got grandkids. And boy, they can't do anything wrong, can they? I mean, they can walk on water. It's great. You didn't feel that way about your kids. I don't know how many times Leanne has looked at me and said, Dad, you would have killed us if we tried that. I said, yeah, and look how you turned out. It's not my job to straighten this one out. That's your job. By the way, you're slacking on your job. Amen. God's always making it again. But let's think about the Bible. Do you remember the Bible when you were a child? I do. I remember my mother every night would come in with a Bible and sit on the bedside and read the Bible out loud to me and to my little brother. She would sit there and read us those old familiar stories like we heard sung about a moment ago. She would read to us one of the miracles that Jesus performed that's recorded in the Gospels. She would read to us one of the parables of Jesus. And I remember sitting there listening to her read those stories, but not really seeing what she saw or what she thought I should have seen in the story. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, because after every story she read, she would preach for about 15 minutes about what she got out of that and what she thought I should have gotten out of that. I never did. But don't get me wrong. I knew the stories. I mean, they were familiar stories. I understood. I got it that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I got that. I got it that Jacob fell asleep and he saw a ladder come down out of heaven. The angels of God walking up and down the ladder. I got that. Oh, I didn't have all the theology behind it all like she did. And when she started telling me all that, to be honest with you, I just ruled it out. But I got the stories. I knew the stories. I understood. I got it that Abraham was rescued by the Lord from having to offer Isaac on Mount Moriah because God himself had provided a lamb. I got all that. I knew the stories. That's the point. But then I continued to grow up. I learned some things. I did not always understand everything that was read to me, but I started growing up. As the years passed, I had some experiences, and life began to teach me some lessons that all of us have to learn as we go through life. I found out that I had this old sin nature that I had to deal with, a nature that just about ruined me in my teenage years. I mean, a nature that almost got me killed several times. A nature that almost caused me to do some foolish things that might not have recovered from. And then I had my grandfather, whom I loved and adored, suddenly have a stroke, and 3 or 4 days later, pass away. I had never experienced anything like that. I had never dealt with any of that. I had no idea what all that was about. And as a child, I did not understand everything that was read to me. Please, please see how I tie this together. But then, a few years after all that, I heard the gospel and I got saved. Now, for 16 years, life has been working on me. Sin, the old nature, the flesh, experience, all of it working on me. And then I got saved. And when I got saved, I'll never forget this. My pastor, his name was Jim Efall, my pastor had a red Bible. R-E-D. It was red. The cover of it was red. And there were about 300 people in the church that morning that I got saved. And he introduced me to the congregation and said that I'd gotten saved. And everybody said amen. And then he turned around and he shook that red Bible at me. And he said, every Bible ought to be red. And everybody kind of chuckled a little bit. He said, I don't mean red, R-E-D, like this one. I mean red, R-E-A-D. Every Christian ought to read their Bible. Oh, man. I mean, if he'd have told me to run home, I would have run home that morning. I mean, that guy showed me how to get saved. I believed everything he said. And so when he shook that Bible at me and said, now, Norris, you go home and read your Bible every day. I just all of a sudden thought, okay, I'm going to do it. And you know what I found? I went home and started reading it. And I read where Jonah was thrown over a ship and a big whale swallowed him up. And I read where Jacob was running from home because his brother was going to kill him. And he got tired and he laid down and made a pillow out of rocks. And he laid there and he had a dream and this ladder came down out of heaven. I read where Adam sinned against God and God kicked him out of the garden and God provided a sacrifice for his sin. You see, there was a difference, though, this time. Those were the same old stories that I had been reading before. Those were the same old stories that my mother had read to me as a child. And I knew the stories. But God made them new. God made them again. Now that I'm saved, wow, did those stories mean something to me. I all of a sudden found myself getting excited about it. It was the same old Bible that I had learned as a child. It was the same book with the same old stories in it. There was Daniel in the lion's den and Joseph in the pit and Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But now they were richer. Now that I was saved, they were deeper. They just seemed so much more alive and so fresh, and I just couldn't get enough of them. And now for all these years, I have been taking these same old stories, ones that I've read over and over and over and over, and read them again and get something that I had never gotten before. That's because God made his Bible like him. He just makes it new again. How many times, Christian, have you sat down in your Christian life and you started reading something in the Bible and you thought, wow, I've read this 100 times. Maybe you have read it so much that you've got it memorized now. You can almost quote it without reading it out of the Bible. You've read it and heard it so much. But then in the quietness of the hour, as you are before the Word of God, and you're reading, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to your heart. And you see something in the Word of God. And joy comes over your soul. And it's almost like you want to take your shoes off because you feel like you're standing on holy ground. And you say, wow, I've read that 1,000 times, but I've never seen this before. That's because he makes all things new. It's just the way our God is. It's just how God operates. So he made it again. Now, we looked at it broadly. We looked at it a little more narrow. Now let's bring it right down to where each one of us sit here this morning. I want to show you thirdly how true this is in life. In life. You know, there are 6 billion plus of us on this planet. Now, I want you to just think about that for a minute. That's a heap of people, right? 6 billion plus of us on this planet. And you know, like snowflakes, there's not two of us exactly alike. We're all different. I suppose that Matt and Timmy Smith are about as close as any two I've ever seen. A set of twins in our church. But you talk to Maggie, and Maggie will tell you there's different as day is from night. There's no two of us alike. That's amazing. Yet, the great Creator, the one who made us, seems to find joy in making the same thing millions of times. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. He is the giver and the taker of life. If you are here this morning, it's because he made you. That's right. Amen. Jeremiah said that he was formed in his mother's womb. We're made by God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We are made by him. 6,000 years ago, in the Garden of Eden, he made the first human face. And ever since, he has been making it again. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, think about that. 6,000 years ago, in the Garden of Eden, the Creator made the first human heart. And now for all these years, he's been making it again. I know this is hard for you to conceive, but would you try? Would you just try? There was a time, here it is, you ready? There was a time when you were just a baby. Now, I know it's hard to think back that far. But there was a time when you were just a baby. You were innocent. You were helpless. Your only form of communication was to scream your lungs out. But now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here's a neat thing. I want you to think. This has been going on since the garden. Here's the neat thing. There was a time, and if you'll just think about it, you'll realize it's true. There was a time when you were a baby. But then there came a time when you had a baby. There was a time when you were a baby, but then there came a time when you had a baby. And if you fall into that category, you need to just stop and consider this. That baby looks like you. That's scary, isn't it? That baby looks like you. That baby cried like you. That baby acts like you. That baby has certain characteristics about it that are your characteristics. That baby has the same attitude that he got from you or she got from you. You say, what's your point? My point is, you had that baby, and there are not words to describe the love you have for that child. Am I right about that? If someone were to ask you to put it into words, you would not be able to do it. Now, let's go back to the garden. And there's Adam. I want to serve notice on you, folks, that you think about how much you love yours. God loved his. When he created Adam and put him in the garden, he loved him. And thinking of this little phrase, and he made it again. Folks, it's almost like God said, he saw Adam and he said, I need to make it again. I mean, every one of us has been made and fashioned in the image of God. And God loved Adam. That means, dear friend, that God loves you. You say, well, Pastor, how much does he love me? Wait a minute. You're marred. You're marred. It's called sin. It was bred into you. But here's the good thing about the potter. The potter does not take that which is marred and throw it in the trash can. The potter makes it again. In other words, folks, our great Creator knows how to fix us so that we can be something. Look at your verse. Look at the last part of the verse. Good. So that we can be something good. And I cannot stop right here. I've got to go on another step and show you how the Lord Jesus fits into this picture. I mean, if I stopped right here, I would leave out the most important part of the message I think that Jeremiah is trying to get us to see. We were made, created by the Lord. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Folks, everything that your eyes see, Jesus created it. Now, let's go back and see what Jesus did. When He came to this earth 2,000 years ago, do you know why He came? He came to make it again. He went to Calvary's cross, and on that cross took your sins and mine and paid the price so that God would not have to look at all of us marred pieces of dust, clay, and say, oh, marred, gonna throw it away. He came so that you and I could be made again. And he showed us over and over that's what he does. Do you remember? I mean, just think about it. Do you remember some of the wonderful things that the Lord Jesus made when He was here? I think it's interesting. In the very first miracle that He performed, it was at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And Mary came to Him and said, we have no wine. And Jesus said, bring those old water pots out and fill them full of water. And they obeyed His word. And He said to the servants, now draw out the water and take it and give it to the governor of the feast. So the servants poured out the water. And they turned and they went in the direction. And as they went, somewhere in between the obedience and the pouring and the transmission, the water became wine. Now, I got a glass of water up here and I need to drink it. I've got a glass of water up here. Any of you want to come up here and take a stab at turning this into wine? That's because you can't do it. But the Creator can.
That's right.
He made the water, and He made the wine. He can make the water into wine. It's not a problem. He's the Creator. Hey, if He can take water and make it something else, can He not take you and me, old marred pieces of clay, and make us again? Example after examples in the Bible. Do you remember that they were along the Sea of Galilee one day and somebody said, look at this crowd of people. There were thousands there. And they're hungry. And we don't have anything to feed them. McDavid's is closed. What are we going to do? Andrew said, I got a little boy's sack lunch. It's got a couple of loaves of bread and some fish in it. And Jesus blessed it, and it multiplied, and they fed everybody with it. He took that little bread and that little fish, and He made it again. Do you remember when He was out on the sea, and He was tired, so He was sleeping, and a storm blew up? And these professional fishermen thought they were going to drown because of the storm. And they rowed and they did all they could, but they were helpless against that tempest. And so one of them came and shook Him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The Lord Jesus stood and lifted His hand to the storm and said, peace, be still. And just like that, the sea was as glass. He made it again. Folks, that's what he does.
That's right.
He takes that which is cursed. He takes that which is marred. He takes that which is suffering from the wages of sin, and he makes it again.
Amen.
And I'm here today to tell you that if you don't know the Lord, you're marred.
That's right.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Why don't you let him do what he does best? And what he does best is he makes it again.
Amen.
This morning in the hallway, one of our teenagers came up all excited and said, "Pastor, I work with a lady who knows you." And I said, "Really? Where's she from?" Said, "She grew up with you in West Virginia." I thought, uh-oh. I said, "Don't believe a word she tells you. I'm not sure if I know who you're talking about, but she's a liar, I'm telling you. She's a liar. Don't believe her." Yeah, but one day when I was wallowing around in the hog pen, I came to myself.
Amen.
And I thought, you know, my father's servants have it better than I do. I think I'll go home. And as I was walking down the aisle to go to that altar, there was a loving father who put his arms around me and said, "My son was lost, but now he's found. And he made me again." Folks, that's what he does. Do you remember that leper? Came in, had leprosy all over himself. And the master touched him. And his leprosy was gone. He made him it again. I mean, over and over and over, just example after example. Remember blind Bartimaeus down at the gate in Jericho? Jesus comes by, big commotion. Man's blind. He can't see what's going on. So he grabs a fellow and says, "What's happening?" And this fellow says, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And Bartimaeus went nuts. "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me." Well, now, wait a minute. That's why he came. He came to have mercy upon those that were marred. And man, he stopped and he healed Bartimaeus of his blindness. Bartimaeus was praising God. Remember those 10 lepers that came? They stood afar off because that's what the law said. Don't come around people. If you got leprosy, you stay away. So the lepers are standing back and they said, "Master, help us." Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." So all 10 of them turned and started to the priest. And as they turned, they look and they notice their leprosy was cured. Oh my. They made a beeline to the priest, but one old boy looked down and saw his leprosy was cured, and he came back and fell on his face and said, "Thank you, Jesus."
Amen.
Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Those other guys had their fingers eaten off with leprosy. They turned, and on their way to the priest, they looked down. They still didn't have any fingers, but their leprosy was gone. But that one boy, he ran back. He fell down. He didn't have any fingers either when he fell down. But when he got up, his faith had made him whole. You see, that's what Jesus does. And over and over and over and over in the Bible, there's Zacchaeus, there's Nicodemus. I mean, the stories, just, it's what he does. He makes it again. And that's what he wants to do for you this morning. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? If you don't, He wants to make you again. And you can know Him if you just will.